Romans chapter 12, we're going to continue where we left off, which wasn't very far into it, actually. There's so much good material here, and so we'll continue in about verse 3, but we'll do just a little bit of a review to bring everybody up to speed on where we're at. And the message is titled Lasting Change. And as I shared last week, it's pretty cool the way the Holy Spirit works, right, with a new year rolling around, winding up the year with a message kind of exhorting us to think through, what does God have for us in 2019, and then to come into a passage like Romans 12, I don't know how organized you'd have to be to make that happen by our design, right? By God's design, though, it worked out perfectly. So here in Romans 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about transformation, right? Literal transformation. And you think about what we look for in the new year in terms of resolutions. I was thinking about that last night and already praying to get back on track. And it's only like, the 12th or something yesterday. And realizing where you fall short and realizing, man, we need not just a resolution. We need a reformation. We need a literal change. And God can do that, right? And so we see some principles here in Romans chapter 12 that speak to how we can be literally transformed. Someone said that God's word is given not just for our information, but for our transformation, right? And I don't know about you, but the things that God has done in my life are really by transformation. I remember a few years before I got saved, a roommate and I, we were kind of weekend warriors, I guess you could say. I kind of prided myself on, I guess, what you'd call responsibility. But in the midst of that, being sort of irresponsible in various times. And kind of our thing at the time was we drank pretty heavily. And I remember at one point in time, maybe it was a new year, saying, his name is Mike, going, we should just like quit for a month. You know, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, right? Just quit for a month. And so, yeah, all right. And so we did. I should say we decided to. And not even, I think we made it a weekend, if I remember correctly, but if that. And, you know, we weren't wise enough to get it out of the apartment or anything like that. And I remember we just couldn't do it. Less than 10 days, right? Back at it, drinking. Yet when God later literally came into my life, changed my life, right? And I wasn't really trying, per se, to not drink. But he just took the desire. I was so content and joyful in the Holy Spirit that he just took that desire. You know, and that to me is a picture of transformation, right? And that's just something he did in my life. He may not do that way in every single person's life, but he literally transformed my desires. I believe it's Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." And there's a couple ways to read that. The first thing I can think, man, I'd love a Ferrari. Right? That's in my heart. So if I delight myself in the Lord, I'm going to get a Ferrari? Or maybe that wouldn't be too practical on streets like these, right? So maybe a brand new Suburban, right? Thumps out the base and has, you know, all the door locks work properly and the seats fold like they're supposed to, unlike mine. You know, I want a brand new Suburban. So I'm going to delight myself in the Lord and He'll give me a Suburban. That's not the way it works. It's better. You're like, how can it be better than that, right? Suburban, whatever it is for you, you know. New house. Good looks. We already have all that, so we don't need to ask for that. But he does it most often as we delight in him by changing the desires of our heart. Right? And isn't that perfect, right? The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. But if you look at our culture, right, we are the most marketed to culture in the history of the world. I mean, bar none, right? Not only are there more, clever methods. They're just more means by which to market to us. I mean, you can't even watch YouTube these days, right? Without that, you know, your video will continue in 5 seconds or whatever it is, and all these different marketing things. And so, to be content, right, can only be from the Lord. And as we delight ourselves in Him, and He changes our heart, right, we can find ourselves with that contentment. He'll give us the desires of our heart at times by changing it. There's a lot of things that I used to really want that I don't really care about that much. Right, I remember I had my plan. By the time I was 25, I lived in Southern California, so the weather was actually much different. And I was, you know, in the insurance industry like I am today. And I had my plan by 25 for a convertible yellow Corvette. Right, you know, I had driven one for a while. My uncle had, and I thought it was pretty cool. And you know, I had kind of a Blazer. They used to have those back then, and then I can't remember, like a couple other cars, and then a Mustang. Corvette, that was it, right? 25. I got saved at 24, right? And all of a sudden, you know, over time, actually, like this yellow Corvette wasn't that big of a deal, right? God just changed my priorities, you know? And I got blessed much more with a wife and kids and all those things that God really just changed my heart. And now, not that I wouldn't mind a yellow Corvette, but like He's just... I don't really, you know, I'm a lot older than 25, double, and He's changed my heart, and I'm so stoked on life, and so content and thankful, and it doesn't mean I don't have goals or plans or dreams, but just, you know, I do my best to delight myself in the Lord, and he gives me the desires of my heart, in part by changing. And so Paul here is talking about transformation, and so that's why I've titled the message, and the same as last week and this week, because it's really, it's all the same chapter, lasting change, because that's what we yearn for, we really look for in a new year, right? It's a great time to reflect. God scheduled that into the calendar of the nation of Israel, a time of sincere reflection and repentance every year, their spiritual new year, much different than our kind of party new year, but a spiritual new year to sort of look at what are we going to do different. And but the goal is lasting change, right? You know, it's not so much, I mean, we, you know, you might have friends, family, what have you. I need a change of scenery. I need a change of friends. I need a change of environment. I need a change of jobs. I mean, today I need a change of spouse. I need a change. Whatever it is, we think that change of circumstances are going to change us. And guess what? That doesn't work. Right, maybe limited success in some cases, but what we really need is transformation. We need a change of heart. We need to be changed from the inside, and God can do that. And Paul gives us some beautiful principles here. So we'll just review the first couple of verses and then dive into what we didn't get to last week. But he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," and that word "beseech" is just think of strongly encourage. And the most strongest of terms, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, right? Why is that? Because of what we already looked at in the first 11 chapters, all that we possess, all that we have in Christ, all that He's done for us, it's just reasonable that we would surrender our bodies, ourselves to Him, just a reasonable act of service. And do not be conformed, he says in verse 2, to this world. Right, that's what marketing is for—to conform us to a set of goals. Right, so we buy this product. Are you lonely? Buy this. Are you, you know, too skinny? Buy this. Are you too heavy? Then buy that. Are you sad? Buy this. And you know, whatever the case may be, you know, buy this. And you know, my wife and I joke about some of these new trends. It's like, oh, we're going to be healed, right? Because I mean, you read about certain things, and basically, like, you're going to be healed of everything if you take this plant or you know whatever it is. And of course, you know, God can heal us and God can change us. And so He says, don't be conformed to this world, but here's the key: be transformed, right? Be transformed. And how can we be transformed? He says, by the renewing of your mind, how you think, what you think about. Right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? Not that we change God's good and acceptable and perfect will. Right? We get changed. Mm-hmm. We get, as we get in line with God's will and his plan for us, we get radically blessed. Radically blessed. Right? And we talked about our first point, our first principle for those note takers is allow God's word or his principles to shape your thinking. That's the goal. Allow God's word to shape your thinking, not the world or your fleshly desires. Right? What pops up first? Sort of depends. Our flesh can pop up enough bad stuff by itself, right? But then we're marketed to, and that brings other bad things, or it can bring other bad things. It can bring some good things too. But that will, our both the world and our own fleshly desires can lead us away from what God wants from us, from God's best. And so we talked about, and the study on Thursdays does an outstanding job of outlining God's way versus man's way at the core of it, right? And that's kind of what the scriptures, by and large, are about. Are we going to do life God's way or man's way, right? Man's way isn't difficult to figure out, right? Because we just have to listen to the world, listen to our own heart, and it'll lead us astray, if, you know. God's way isn't that difficult to figure out either, right? And God's way sometimes up front can be a little more challenging, but the rewards are far better, right? Man's way up front sometimes can be, okay, well, I don't want to, you know, seem weird, so I'll just do whatever, right? It can seem a little more simple up front, but then it leads to all sorts of difficulty down the road, right? The Psalm says, the way of the rebellious is difficult, right? So what does that mean? When we choose not to operate God's way, it's difficult. Ultimately, right, we're going to end up with difficulty, right? Now, you might say, well, I've operated God's way and I've had difficulty, and that's absolutely true. It rains on the just and the unjust. But in the big picture, right, we're more blessed, right, less difficult in the long run by operating in God's way. And so in order to do that, we literally need to have our thinking changed, because our thinking is not naturally God's way. In fact, they're at odds. Our flesh is often at odds with what the Spirit would say. And so he says, really, that it's a decision, right? He encourages us by the mercy of God to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's a decision that we make to surrender ourselves to the Lord, right? And it's... It really often starts with an initial decision, right? And we'll have altar calls sometimes to encourage people to raise their hand or to pray or to come forward or what have you. Or, you know, it can happen in a, you know, at lunch, you know, having lunch, to pray at lunch or wherever. It can happen by yourself driving down the road, right? Where you choose, you know, I'm going to follow the Lord. But then it's also a daily decision. And frankly, sometimes an hourly or by minute decision, right? That I am going to present myself. I'm going to follow the Lord. And you might say, well, I don't really feel like it. You know, whatever, you know, God has called me to do. And he's probably speaking to all of our hearts this morning, some area that we need to surrender. Some people, you've heard them say, you know, the kind of worldly adage, fake it until you make it, you know. And I heard one I like better. It says, faith it until you make it. Right? Step out in faith. Trust the Lord. Again, right? Conforming ourselves to God's word, allowing God's word to shape our principles, our thinking, our plan of action for life, if you will. And even when we don't feel like it or don't understand how it could work out for the best, faith it. Step out in faith, right? One thing I think is good for us to think through this time of year, well, really any time of year, but uniquely, is what are you doing right now that can only be explained by faith? Right? There's a lot of things that we do that really doesn't take faith. Right. I mean, if I don't like paying speeding tickets and I just drive the speed limit, right, that's doesn't really take a whole lot of faith. Right. Just common sense. Right. Otherwise, I can drive fast and pay speeding tickets, you know, or whatever the case may be. Right. There's a lot of things that are easily explained naturally. But what are you doing that requires faith? Right. And my guess is if you really thought it through, there's probably a lot of things. Right? But there's probably things also that God would say, yeah, but you've learned that lesson. You're doing it pretty well. Here's an area I want you to step out in faith in. And you're most blessed if you do that. And it's reasonable because of all that God has done for us. And so as we approach decisions, as we approach our thinking on life, as we approach our circumstances, the first question can't be, how do I feel? Right? It sort of drives me a little nuts when I hear someone say, oh, just follow your heart. Right? Follow your heart. How many times, don't raise your hand, has it got you in trouble? I mean, really, right? What does the Bible say? The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know the heart, the Bible says? So don't follow your heart, right? In Hebrew, in fact, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, right? So you allow your heart to be formed to God's word. That's the key. And in Hebrew, the idea for heart is not so much what we think in our culture, right? You know, love, feelings, right? It's more this the really the seat of the intellect. It's how you think. And so allow your thinking to be conformed to God's word. Don't follow your feelings, which is what our culture often means by following your heart. And that'll get you in trouble almost inevitably at the end of the day, right? It might be great in the moment or whatever. So the first question can't be, how do I feel? Or even, what do I do? The first question is, what does God's word say? Right? What is true? What does God's word say? Right? And so we allow his word, his principles to shape our thinking, not our own fleshly desires. And then we step into here in verse 3, a conversation about spiritual gifts. And also we're going to reference over a little bit in 1 Corinthians, because Paul elaborates there. But he says, for I say through the grace given to me, in verse 3, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So again, he really kicks off this conversation on gifts with an exhortation to be humble about it, right? We have a tendency to elevate certain gifts as really cool and sort of dismiss other gifts. And we'll see that really all gifts are given for the benefit of the body of Christ. And they're all of ultimately of equal value. The question for us is, are we faithful in exercising our gifts? He says, for as we have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So that idea there, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So clearly spelling out, it's not about how cool we are, right? It's all given to us. All gifts are given to us. So shouldn't be something we boast about or think is really cool that you know, we have this gift and someone else has that. Because it's according to God's grace and they're given to us. And he says, so the exhortation then is, whatever those gifts are, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And so again, really prophecy, the idea of speaking forth God's word. Sometimes it might be futuristic in nature, but generally speaking, the idea here is encouraging and teaching people in God's word. And that can just be in conversation. It doesn't necessarily mean a formal setting like this. We believe that's the gift that's operating in teaching of God's word is a gift of prophecy. Or ministry, right? Just serving, you know, whatever way, you know, we serve. It could be helping to set up, helping to clean up, you know, children's ministry. It could be out on, the, you know, some street ministry. It could be, you know, in your own home. It really is where it should start, ministering and caring for others. So if it's ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches and teaching. Again, doesn't just mean, you know, a pastor teaching on a Sunday morning or a midweek, but anybody who teaches. And that could be one individual at work that you're, you know, having lunch with and sharing God's word with, or someone you're meeting for coffee to be faithful, sharing in children's ministry to be faithful to what God's called us to do. He who exhorts, write an exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. In other words, you know, God's given each of us different gifts, right? And they're all important, right? A body is not really complete. Probably one of the greatest pictures of this that I've heard was an illustration of the big toe of all things, right? And you know, maybe you're thinking, I don't want a big toe. Oh, what the heck is a big toe? That's sort of mangled or whatever it is, you know? The idea that, like, certain gifts are not of great value to the body is sort of like the value of the big toe, right? You don't really see it that often. If the big toe all of a sudden said, you know what, I'm tired of being stuck here in the stinky sock, in this tight shoe or loose shoe or whatever it is that you have, or no shoe. I'm tired of being down here. I want to be seen all the time. And the big toe made its way up to like the side of our face. That would look kind of weird, yeah. Right? You know, not only that, but you know what else would happen? You'd have trouble balancing when you walk, because your big toe is very important to your balance, right? So not only would you be walking sort of off balance, but you would look really weird with this toe sticking out of the side of your face. But the big toe on the foot where it belongs is really important, right? And it kind of keeps things working properly. I don't know if the big toe would be stinky on your face. I'm not sure. Maybe not. But I mean, you know, the big toe where it's supposed to be is crucial, just like any gift in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying certain gifts are more stinky than others, right? They're all equal in the body of Christ, and they're all important. And Paul makes that point here. But what is he really encouraging us to do is to be intentional about using the gifts God has given you. Right? Whatever those gifts are, and I'm news, everybody, newsflash, everybody has gifts, plural, right? Probably some primary gifts that God has given you. And then other things that, you know, God would want to use us all in. But we all have gifts. And as he told Timothy, right, to study, to show yourself approved. Right, Timothy was called a pastor and to teach. And Paul exhorts him to study, to show yourself approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So work, right? Work at our craft. And so whatever it is that God has gifted us in, be diligent about it. And do it in humility and be faithful. So be intentional about using the gifts God has given you. Don't allow them to grow cold. And so let's jump over to a couple passages along these lines. First, take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 6. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, you're like, yeah, there's no chapter 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Paul happened to know in Timothy's case, who he called a son in the faith, right, some certain things about gifting. In fact, more than likely, Paul had spoken a word over him, a prophetic word about perhaps the gift of teaching. And so he encouraged Timothy to stir it up. And you kind of get the idea, like, you know, you ever had, you know, had a campfire or, you know, fire in your fireplace, if you still have one of those wood fireplaces. And so you kind of got to stir it up every now and then, right? And then what happens? The flame burns. And it's really a good picture of fellowship and the importance to be a part of the body of Christ. But stir up those gifts, right? Make effort to step out to use those gifts that God has given you. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 24, he says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So here's an exhortation to consider how you can encourage others in their gifts, to stir up love and good works. So we're to be mindful of it for ourselves, and to be intentional about exercising the gifts God has given us. But we're also to be mindful that others have them and to encourage them. You know, because we can be prone to self-doubt and discouragement. And so encourage others in the gifts that you see in them. You know, I remember when I was a lot younger and we had a Bible study at CNA where I was working at lunch. And started off, I attended with a pastor who... his wife worked in our team. And then eventually over time, when he would be gone, I would fill in and people would kind of just, hey, I think you're gifted in teaching. And that was really encouraging to a young guy, you know, who felt called to the ministry, but you know, you don't know. And then eventually when he went back for more schooling and couldn't make it, and I ended up teaching the study. But you know, people did this verse. They helped me, you know, and to stir up these love and good works. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Paul says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us apostles and of the Lord and Savior." And so again, Peter in this case, writing and encouraging them, right, to stir up things that they have been shared about in. And so we see this principle, this important principle. So let's turn over then to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this could be an entire study in itself. I want to read through it, though. So we see Paul's exhortation very, very consistent with what we're studying in Romans. We talked last week kind of through some of these gifts. We'll see a few more here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then before we close, I want to share some ways that you can discover what your gifts are if you're not sure, right? Or some ways also that you can be encouraged in what those are. So Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant," or some translations, unaware. In other words, he just wants you to be mindful, to be in tune, right? He doesn't want you to be unaware of some truths regarding these gifts. He says, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." And honestly, if we're honest, all of us have struggled with that at some point in time. Things that an idol, you just think of a passion or something that we put before the Lord, right? It can be a struggle even as a believer, of course. Right, things that we prioritize before God. "Therefore, in verse 3, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So there's a lot of different gifts, he says here, but they're all from the Lord, right? They're all of the Lord. "There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord." So we all don't have the exact same ministry. We participate together in the ministry of God, really, through Calvary Chapel Living Hope. So we're collectively all a part of that, right? But we have different gifts and very important functions, the way to contribute to that collective whole, right? "There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all," right? And so some of us might be out, you know, sharing on the street or sharing the love of God in our workplaces. Others might be, you know, feeding people who are less fortunate, or maybe delivering meals to those who can't get out, or stopping by to encourage someone who is hurting. Right? All sorts of different ministries and gifts. Verse 7 says, "But all the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit," or the benefit of all. Right? So it's important that we realize that God's given us gifts, not really to just accumulate for ourselves and to build up ourselves, although that's part of it, right? It's important that we are encouraged and strong in the Lord and being strengthened. But it's not just for us to keep it to ourselves. It's to share, to be a part of, right? So it's these given, the manifestation or the outwork, are given for the benefit of everyone. For verse 8 says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individual as he will." So he goes through some different gifts. Some of those might be kind of a major gift for you. Others maybe not so major. But different gifts, and for time's sake, we're not going to go through each one. Actually, we have a study in 1 Corinthians 12 where we do that, and also when we study through Acts 2, which will be on Spreaker. So you can go back and listen or ask questions. Happy to talk. This is exciting stuff. It's fun stuff. And so verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. So again, we're all different individuals, different families, but all part of one church family here at Calvary Chapel, and then part of the bigger body of Christ. Pretty exciting. For by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So same idea there, right? And here he goes into an example, not quite like the big toe, but close. He says that the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Of course not, right? Still part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? You know, the ear getting tired of listening, just wants to see, or what have you. Of course, you know, they all have an important function. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Right. So again, these different parts of our physical body he's using as an illustration or a sample of how important each individual spiritual gift is in the body of Christ. But now he says, verse 18, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. So whatever gifts you have, God has given you for the benefit of the body of Christ. And he's given you as God has pleased. So we should be encouraged by that. If verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Right? We sometimes place different gifts on different pedestals and some low, but really all necessary. Right? So however you're gifted, sometimes people say, well, I don't know if it's important if I come out on Sundays. You never know how God's going to use you to encourage somebody on a Sunday morning, right? People that maybe I won't have an opportunity to interact with or what have you, or throughout the week. It's so important how God uses each of our gifts. I was telling Pam, in fact, last week, how she encouraged everybody to pray for my dad, who's going back to California and is having a surgery, and how I know that blessed him. You know, he's kind of not one that goes around talking freely about this thing. But, you know, imagine if Pam woke up last Sunday and said, you know what, I'm just going to stay home, you know, and nobody will care. It's like, well, yeah, first of all, I care, right? And secondly, we probably wouldn't have done that. It wasn't on my mind, but God put it on her mind, and what a great, huge blessing it was, I guarantee you. And so, you know, sometimes you might think, well, it doesn't really matter if I go to church. Yeah, absolutely it does, right? Number one, as we read in Hebrews, it's important for our own encouragement, but you absolutely never know how God is going to use you. And then, although God put it on Pam's heart, many of us were able to participate, right? And so look how many people got blessed because Pam was here and thought about that, and others responded, you know? And so if you weren't here, how could you have been a part of that? You know what I mean? And so you just see how God works. And so each part, even though we might feel like, you know, I'm not that important, you know, I don't know that much about the Bible, or I I've only been saved for however many weeks or months or whatever. You know, what important am I? Well, you're important. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know how much you might encourage somebody else, and not in a necessarily a big way like that. Could just be in a handshake, could be a hug. You know, one thing I often do when service is over, I kind of look around and see, make sure, you know, nobody's by themselves, and if I can encourage them in some way, try to do that. And so often, I'm very blessed by all of you, because people are talking and encouraging each other. And that's so huge, right? A healthy body, you know, it encourages and builds itself up. And so, but there's no way, you know, that I could talk to every single person, even in a smaller fellowship like this, right? God has brought you here to, you know, mutually build each other up. And it's so awesome to see. And so, you know, we can't say, well, they don't really need me, or I don't need you, no. Verse 22 says, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body. In other words, the more presentable parts don't necessarily need to be covered or what have you, but they're all important. God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, right? No division, no difference in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another, right? If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. One member is honored, all members rejoice with it, right? And how often you come and maybe you're hurting today, and someone can encourage you, can build you up, right? And just knowing how much we love you, right? Well, our cups over here, we call them prayer mugs, really kind of for two reasons. One, you know, as you're drinking your coffee or tea or water or whatever it is, you know, to just be reminded there's a church full of people who love you and care about you, right? You might be at work, or you may, you know, nobody cares about me at work, right? Or it might be at home, or maybe you're by yourself. And, oh, you know, well, remember there's a church, right, that cares about you. And really bigger and more important, through that church, right, it's God who cares for you and loves you. But then also we call them prayer mugs, reminder to pray for the church, right, and pray for others within the church, right? And really that's what a church is people, right, not a building. And so an opportunity is so important, right? And so if one member suffers, if you're suffering today, we're here for you. We love you. We care, right? And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice, right? You know, if someone else gets some recognition, you know, we were down with Greg at the election night, and, you know, and frankly, he did really, really well. I mean, he shared better than he thought he would, and first time around, and fantastic. And we all got to rejoice with him, right? And it took, you know, literally thousands of people to get him to where he was, right, to that many votes. And so we all rejoice. So what a blessing it is to be a part of a body like that. Now, verse 27 says, "You are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" And of course, the rhetorical question, not all do, right? But each part is important, right? So whatever part you play, whatever part you are, whether you're the, you know, newest believer in, you know, a given setting, or the oldest believer, makes no difference, right? All are important. And so he wraps it up there. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. So we're going to loop back around to that in a few minutes, right? The more excellent way, what it's about, which of course we know is love, right? But here's a few things, right, before we go into chapter 13, to consider in learning how you're gifted, right? And this is a question we get from time to time. And, you know, some of you already have a solid idea or know how you're gifted. Others maybe don't know. Maybe you've seen something working in your life lately that maybe God's doing something new or different. And so, first of all, realize, of course, it's God who gives. We just talked about that. And he's not a respecter of person. So it's not because how, you know, good looking you are or talented you are or you know, big or small or whatever, right? It's just God's will. And so it's God who gives. And so we shouldn't be a respecter of persons either, you know, kind of exalt one and diminish the other, or even honestly desire for a certain one, because it's God who gives us. And he, as we'll see in chapter 13, love is really to be the motivation behind it all. We shouldn't get puffed up, right? Remember back in Romans, before he even gets into the conversation, he says, do it all in humility, right? We've talked about that in, 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He'll lift you up in due time. So all in humility. And so the first question that I would say to ask yourself, or first thing to do, I should say, in James, we read, if anyone lacks wisdom, mm-hmm. let him ask and God will give freely. Right? So the first thing to do as you're considering how am I gifted is to ask God for wisdom. Pray and ask God to show you, God, how is it that I'm gifted, right? And Jesus, right, in the terms of prayer, he said to pray and keep on praying. So be diligent about it. Seek the Lord. Ask God, right, how is it that I'm gifted? Lord, how do you want me to be a blessing to the body of Christ? Right? We often think of gifts in terms of how we can be blessed. But remember, we read, Paul said there, for the profit or the benefit of the body. So Lord, how have you gifted me to be a blessing to the body of Christ? And so first question, and to keep on praying, you know, and just sort of be sensitive, right? Don't stand there and wait for a voice from heaven and lightning to, or, you know, the heavens to open and the light to shine down. Mm-hmm. Just sort of be sensitive to God's spirit when he might be speaking to your heart. And then number two, and this is just a real practical thing, right? In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, God works in us to will and to do. So God works in us to will, which means to desire, to want, and to do, right? So again, this is going to be consistent with God's plan and God's will for our lives. So the second step after you've prayed and you've asked the Lord, how am I gifted, is to consider what you're passionate about, right? And consider it before the Lord. Because I was pretty passionate about that yellow Corvette at one point in time, right? And I'm pretty convinced that wasn't God's plan. It certainly wasn't at the time, right? And so consider before the Lord, what am I passionate about, right? What do I enjoy, right? Because God works in you to will and to do. Maybe you really enjoy having people over and blessing them, or maybe not even having them over, but just reaching out and being a blessing to people. Maybe you can talk naturally, right, to people. It's you know, you're one of those that they say you don't really know any strangers, right? You find yourself, you know, in a new environment through work or vacation or whatever, and, you know, you're chatting with people, right? You know, maybe God's gifted you in evangelism, right, or just an ability to share and encourage others. But consider what you're passionate about. You know, maybe, you know, we talked last week about, you know, being able to, you know, giving and encouraging others. Maybe God's just, you know, there's those of us that, like, you know, I mean, for me, that was just, that literally was a step of faith. You know, maybe some of you, it's just like, man, I just love to take someone out to lunch. I just love to, you know, bless people and pray through what you are passionate about, and seek the Lord before the Lord. And then thirdly, and this is similar but different, consider what seems to come naturally to you, right? What just comes naturally, right? God works in us to will and to do. So what are you good at? You know, pray through, of course, Romans 12, pray through 1 Corinthians 12, you know, I'm good at robbing banks. Well, guess what? That's not a spiritual gift, right? Never been caught. I have some ideas for you if you haven't. See me afterwards. Trust that's not the case. So when I say consider before the Lord, that's a very important thing, right? And make sure it's consistent with the words. But what seems to come naturally? Maybe communicating with people, maybe hosting folks, encouraging, maybe insight into situations. Maybe it's easy for you to step out in faith. Like I said, some of us, it can be a trial, right? Maybe you're gifted in communicating the word, right? But remember that a gift is something given from the Lord. It's going to be always be consistent with his word, right? And so it's really important that we are transformed again by the renewing of our mind, right? So make sure that it's consistent with God's word, and you know, knowing God's not an author of confusion. And so what seems to come naturally to me that is consistent with a couple of these lists here that we've read over, specifically and big picture, consistent with God's word? That's why I give that illustration. Well, I'm really good at, you know, robbing banks and getting away. Well, that doesn't mean that that's not consistent with God's word, right? So that's not. And then last but not least, and this is hugely important, begin to practice whatever you think it is. Step out in faith, right? Begin to practice what you feel that you are gifted in, right? Just like physically speaking, and some of us, right? I shouldn't say some people, like physical fitness comes a little more naturally than others. Some of us have to work really hard at it, you know, and still don't get there. But like similar for our gifts or our ability to operate in those gifts, right? It just takes exercise, right? So exercise those gifts and then continue to seek the Lord. You might think, you know, Pastor Chuck talked a lot about wanting to be an evangelist, and he spent many, many years trying to be an evangelist, and then he said sometimes he would be so weak behind the pulpit from fasting for so many days that he could hardly speak, you know. And then finally God showed him he's not an evangelist, although frankly he probably has a huge list of people that he's been a part of bringing to faith in Christ because he was a gifted teacher. Mm-hmm. All right, so God called him to teach the Word of God. And through his teaching of the Word of God, frankly, probably millions of people have come to faith through thousands of churches planted because of his teaching ministry. And if he kept on trying to be an evangelist, maybe he would have, you know, passed out and, you know, who knows. But how is it that it goes when you step out in faith, right? And don't give up, right? Just like at the gym, right? You might not be able to put up, you know, the weight that you want to, but over time, if you work hard at it, you're going to get better. You're going to get bigger. You're going to get stronger. And so it's important that we practice those gifts. And so, and you'll learn as time goes on whether that's what God has for me or not. Right, but don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid of failing, mm-hmm. right? How many times have people not experienced some victory that God wants for them because they were too afraid to take the step of faith to try what God's putting on their heart, or to apply a clear biblical principle? You know, not getting to experience that because we're afraid of failure. Failure really is a great teacher. Right? And believe me, there's nobody in this room who hates to fail more than me. Believe me when I say that. I hate failing. However, those many, 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 many times that I have, right, I finally got it through my thick head that I can learn mm-hmm. through failure, right? And to be honest with you, I've sort of come to the conclusion, not sort of, I've come to the conclusion that failure, sometimes we call things failure that truly is not. Right, maybe something just didn't go how we thought it would go, right. Or we didn't see the type of success that we view as success. Mm-hmm. But if we're learning to grow in faithfulness or obedience to God's word, mm-hmm. then that's a huge success, right? And so, because faithfulness is what we're called to. And then looping back to 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, right, all these gifts and all these things and all these different ways that God may use us. Mm-hmm. Because not all of these are for every single individual, but some part of these are for you, right? And so, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, right, but I don't have love, all that sound is like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, right? Useless, makes just meaningless, without love, right? Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, right, that insight, all knowledge, and though I have all faith, right, you just, faith comes easy to you, perhaps stepping out, right? You know, someone said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. I'll be honest with you, that's part of the reason that I'm in Iowa, you know? And part of the reason I'm in Iowa, my whole family is in Iowa. You know, finally, you know, you rack your brains, you pray, you talk to people, and I don't even remember where I heard this, but I got it in my mind, I'd rather have tried and failed than not try and always wonder. Right? And so, those two things are so important. You know, at the gym at work, it says, there's a thing on the wall, something to the effect, if you want to achieve something that you've never had, you have to do something you've never done, right? And so many principles in God's word require steps of faith, right? We never see that. And really, we're talking about gifts that build up the body of Christ. It's really for something bigger than ourselves, outside of ourselves, right? We can keep to ourselves. Jesus said an interesting thing, and again, we often think of it in terms of money, but it's much, much bigger than that. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I like receiving. I don't know about you. Right? Well, whatever it is, could be a present, could be money, it could be, you know, a big hug. Could be a cup of coffee after church. You know, I mean, whatever it is, right? And that's a blessing. It's a blessing to receive, right? And you can be blessed if you never give, right? And whatever that is, right? Could be any of those things. Just giving, thinking any of these gifts, stepping out in faith, right in those gifts, right? You can be blessed without doing it. But Jesus says, you're more blessed if you give. It's for the benefit of others, right? And again, people think preachers talking about money, and I'm not talking about money. But you're more blessed if you give than if you just always receive. So you can be blessed and never do any of this. But that's where faith comes in, isn't it? To say, I want to be more blessed. So I'm going to seek the Lord, see how God has gifted me for the benefit of the body of Christ, because we're all part of something much bigger than ourselves, whether we like it or not. I saw a shirt one time, and someone said, who wants to live forever? Who wants to live forever? And I thought, amen. But even beyond that, I thought, everybody lives forever, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. Living forever is not a choice. No. And I thought it's kind of unfortunate, right? Because I don't know exactly where it came from, and there may be a very good and legitimate thinking behind it. But everybody lives forever. It's a matter of where. You know, like someone said, smoking or non-smoking. And so the reality is we all are part of something bigger than ourselves. Are we going to surrender to the Lord and experience, really by giving ourselves to Him? Giving ourselves to Him. Are we going to experience His best, what is best for us? Because sometimes what is good and great, we can be blessed. But what is good and great can be the greatest competition with what's best, can't it? Right? I'll settle for what's good. So anyways, exciting stuff. And so here, those are some ways to consider how you're gifted. And I'll close with this quote from William Booth, not the guy who shot Abraham Lincoln. William Booth, also the founder of the Salvation Army, right? The Salvation Army is holding an international convention, and their founder, General William Booth, could not attend because of physical weakness. And he cabled his convention message to them, right? So what was he going to share? And it was one word, others. Others. Consider others, right? We're all a part of something bigger than ourselves. We're all a part of the kingdom of God, right? And if we want to see lasting change, transformation that comes through surrender to Him, right? And so we talked about the fact that it's important for us to allow God's word to shape our thinking, to be intentional about using our gifts that God has given us, right? To not just let them grow cold. Talked about some principles, some ways that we can determine what they are. Ask God, consider what you're passionate about, consider what seems to come naturally, and then step out in faith, right? Keeping in mind is for the benefit of others. As we said, next week we'll wrap up this passage and we'll see and study Paul's encouragement that even when it's difficult, right, that it's important to follow God's word. Even when it's difficult, because, right, in the end, you'll be blessed much better off than if we just took the easy road, right? And this is the road of obedience, the road of faith, right? In the immediate term, sometimes it might be more difficult, not always, but sometimes. But in the end, right, in the end, it's always better to follow God's word, always, right? And that's where faith comes in. So let's stand together, and we'll close in prayer. I want to encourage us, if any of us have not come to this place of surrender, I would love to pray with you today after service. You know, I remember when I was in a retreat, you know, and I had grown up going to church and sort of strayed, and I talked a little bit about that through college and beyond college, and I thought I was recommitting my life to the Lord, but really I'm pretty convinced that I was getting saved, you know. I had come to a spot where I realized, you know what, I'm not following. In fact, the Pastor Raul, sort of as an afterthought, was talking about Enoch, a man in the Old Testament who lived for the Lord. And I realized, I'm not doing that. I might believe in God, but I have not been doing that. And God changed my life that evening. And so if that is anybody here, please come up. I'd love to chat with you afterwards. We're going to close in prayer. And I want to encourage us, think through these things, apply these words. You can listen in on off of our website and over to Spreaker. If there's anything you want to follow up on, and then we'll finish out Romans 12 next week. Remember last week I said, I don't know if we're going to get through this in one study. I didn't know it'd be three, but anyways, God's good, right? Lord, thanks so much for today. Lord, thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives and in our heart. And God, again, thank you for each individual that you brought here this morning, Lord. We are absolutely positive it's not by accident. Lord, no one is here by accident, but Lord, rather by design. Lord, thank you that you love each and every one of us passionately, Lord, and that you have a purpose and a plan for our life, Lord, as you have shared so many places in the scriptures. God, you've laid out good works for us to walk in. Father, I pray that you would fill each of us with your spirit and your presence to do that. Father, I pray certainly if there's anybody here who has not come to that place of surrender, that today would be the day of salvation, Lord, or recommitment, as the case may be, Lord, as was in my life. And I pray, God, that you would just be radically glorified in and through that, Father. Thank you so much, Lord, for your love for us, for the work that you're doing in our lives, and God, for the freshness and joy that we possess in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves to you afresh, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
And God bless you. Have a great, great day in the Lord. If I can pray for you or need anything, come on up. Otherwise, hang out and enjoy some fellowship.